Right, if you've got a Bible, please have it open at Romans chapter 12. And, you know, thank you very much to Catherine, who's really been reminding us about the body of Christ and how we're all called to work together in unity. And as we think about these passages, we're going to be continuing that theme of thinking how the church works together as a united group of people. And I'm also going to continue our nautical theme as well. So I'm going to start off by asking, has anyone ever watched one of those films where you've got the old sailboats in it? You know, when they went over the seven seas in their big sail ships. Something like Pirates of the Caribbean or Peter Pan or Master and Commander or some of those older films where everyone was working together on a sailboat. Has everyone seen one of them at some point? Yeah, if you haven't, then you probably need to watch some of these old films. Which means, if you've seen films like that, you're probably familiar with the expression, all hands on deck. Yes, you've heard that, haven't you? All hands on deck. And that's an alarm call that's given out for the crew whenever there's some sort of danger, whether that's a storm threatening or whether the enemy are closing in. You hear that call, don't you? All hands on deck. And this just reminds us that in those old sailing ships, they didn't really have any room for passengers. Everyone had a job to do. Even if you were a passenger, they'd give you a job to do, something so that you'd be useful and not bored all the time. Everyone was expected to pull their weight on these ships. It was a 24/7 job. And apart from the times when they were sleeping or they'd have a short rest period, everyone was working constantly, using their different skills and abilities to keep the ship moving and to make sure that all the jobs were done. Some people were involved in making sure that the ship was sailing properly, so there'd be people who were on the sails and someone steering and other people doing jobs to make sure everything was prepared. Other people would be looking after the crew. You know, a ship doesn't get very far without a cook, does it? And food and catering, and there's always medics needed for injuries and things like that. Everyone was needed. Each person had a job to do. And this sort of image of an old man of war, it's just one way of explaining what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 12. Because Paul is talking about how Christians should behave, how people in the church should treat one another. And just like a well-trained ship's crew, everyone within the church should use their different skills working together for a common purpose, which is being a community of people that brings glory to God. And Christians are called to bring glory to God on two levels. The first two verses that Catherine mentioned, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. And we're looking very much at the individual call there for the Christian. Every Christian is a person who has been rescued from darkness, from serving, as it were, on a pirate ship, on an evil crew. They've been rescued from that, and they're called to serve in the crew of Christ's kingdom. They are to be a people who love what is good, who avoid everything that is evil, and try to live a life that is filled with the worship to God. And that's what being a Christian is all about. Living a life for God and joyfully serving Him in everything that we do. It's not just a case that, oh, we're saved, we're forgiven, and then we sit around and do nothing until we go to heaven. That's not the reason that you are saved. You are saved to bring glory to God. You are saved to serve Him here in this life. And if you're just living for yourself while waiting to go to heaven, you're missing out on one of the main reasons that Christ died on the cross for you. We're called to be people that bring glory to God in everything that we say and everything that we do. So that means the most important thing we can do in our lives is finding the ways that the Lord wants to save us. He should be our number one, the first one that we look to in our lives, the one that we serve with everything that we've got. So we should be trying to do our absolute best for Him. And in order to help us do our best for Him, He equips us with all sorts of different gifts and skills and abilities. It's wonderful how the Lord helps us be the person that He wants us to be. Often we look at ourselves and we think, oh, I'm not much good for anything. There's so little that I can do. But God works in us to build us up and to develop us. develop us as individuals, but also as part of the community of the church, his crew. And it's in this sort of context of the community of the church that we see Paul starting to address in the next chunk of Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through to 8. We see there the Apostle Paul starting to give instructions to Christians on how they should live. And straight away we see that he's very humble in what he says. In Romans 12 verse 3, the Apostle Paul is saying, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." A lot of people, they think of Paul, and they think of here this incredible evangelist who went from place to place serving the Lord. And that's right, that's what he became. They forget what he was. The Apostle Paul was a man who persecuted the church, who put Christians in prison, and when they were voting as to whether or not they should be put to death, he voted for them to be put to death. That's what Paul was before he was an apostle. He was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee who was an enemy of the church. But God in his mercy saved him. And this meant that Paul was a very humble man. He knew how bad people could be. He knew how people who thought they were doing the right thing could actually be a long way from God. And that means that when he's given the church advice, he's thinking about his own journey, where he's come from. And it's with humility that he is encouraging the church to do in these things. And he's pointing to that wonderful gift of grace. Grace is when God gives us things that we do not deserve. And if anyone did not deserve God's blessing, it was the Apostle Paul. But God poured his grace out and he equipped him so that he was able to do incredible things. We can think of it this way. Have any of you ever received a present that you feel that you don't deserve? I'm not asking the children here because they think they deserve every present that they're given and more on top. But maybe as adults, sometimes someone shows us an exceptional degree of kindness and generosity and gives us something that we don't deserve. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel loved. You know, you're amazed that that person has done that thing for you. That's how we should be when we think about the gifts that God has given us. Because we don't deserve them whatsoever. But God gives us these wonderful gifts. Things which may really stretch us. Things that may amaze us. But God gives us these things that we do not deserve, so that we can use them to serve him and use them for his glory. It's amazing what God does. God never makes mistakes. So he gives us gifts and presents that we don't deserve. He gives them to us because he loves us and because he sees our potential and what we can really achieve. And sometimes that means giving us a little bit of a push and encouraging us to step out in faith in a new and exciting way as he gives us these gifts which are there to build up and strengthen the church. Of course, when we talk about the church, we need to remind ourselves once again that the church is the group of people who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's people and not a place. It's not a building that people gather together in on a Sunday morning with a funny big steeple on it and things like that. The church is the gathering together of people who trust in Jesus. And spiritually, each person who trusts in Jesus is also united with Jesus. One of the most common ways that Christians are described in the New Testament are people who are in Christ. They are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual link between him and them. And that means that everyone who has trusted in Jesus is also in Christ. So there's a spiritual link between us all, radiating into the Lord Jesus Christ and then coming back out. All of us together form one body. We are all the crew of the Lord Jesus Christ's ship. And he gives each one of us a position and a role to play. That he gives this person everything that they need to do a job. He gives that person everything they need to do their job. This person everything that they need to do their job. Often, he gives us these things a piece at a time. and we slowly develop as we grow in our maturity of him. It'll soon be the start of a new year. And at the start of every new year, there's always magazines released where you can buy a piece at a time and you can build your model Millennium Falcon or your model classic car or your model warship or something like that. And the first episode is always 99p, and you get a little tiny piece. And the next one is £74.80, and it continues for 200 editions. And if you buy every single bit, you'll eventually have your model Millennium Falcon or whatever it is. You know the sort of thing I'm talking about, don't you? What happens if you miss issue 2 or issue 3? It just doesn't work, does it? You start off with a little bit at a time, and then you get point 2 and point 3 and point 4 and point 5, and so it eventually builds up. And that's how the Lord works in our lives with our gifts. We start off with just a little thing. And yes, you know, we do that. Then we get the second bit and we'll glue them together or whatever it is that you do. And we gradually build up and grow. And eventually what you got at the end bears virtually no resemblance to where you started. That's how the Lord works in our lives. A piece at a time, slowly building us up. As slowly our gifts grow and they develop. And God does this in this way, so that we become far more than we ever thought we possibly could be. God has got a purpose for each and every Christian, something for us to do, and we need to find that area that he wants us to serve in, and then we need to work hard at it in order for it to grow and develop. And working together like this should be an exciting prospect for us all. What we do here at Great Harbour Christian Fellowship is a very small part of God's eternal plan. Everything that happens here, God knows beforehand. God is directing and guiding this fellowship in the way that he wants it to go. And every church is just a small part in God's plan. There is a big picture. We are all part of that crew that is manning the great vessel of the church. And for us, it's so important as a church and as individuals, we find out what it is that the Lord wants us to do, even if it means hard work. But when we remember what Christ has done for us, then surely there's no greater honor than serving him, serving the true and living God. I remember when I was in my early 20s, we sang a song which is in our hymn books, but we don't sing here. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Does anyone know that one? Yeah, a few people. Yeah, the pianist knows it. This is a good step forward. And it's got in it the chorus. I want to give my life to something that lasts forever. And when we're serving the Lord, that's what we're doing. We're giving our life to something that lasts forever. Whatever company you may work for, or what you have done in the past, that's just something that lasts for a short period of time. Whatever job that you've done, you know, it's just for that moment to bring the money in, to put the food on the table and pay the mortgage. But when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that we do, we're serving his kingdom, something that lasts forever. If you want your life to have meaning and purpose, use the gifts that the Lord gives you to serve him. Because that service is something that lasts forever. So we should be really working together, finding out what the Lord wants us to do. We're all cogs in that machine that all comes together as the kingdom of God advances. And we need to be sensitive to the Lord's voice and do the things that he wants us to do. That's why the Apostle Paul, he's saying there, in verse 3 again, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. There's a great paraphrase by a chap called Phillips, and he writes here for this bit, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your own capabilities. Try and realize what your gifts are, and don't try and do someone else's job. On a ship, you know, what's it going to be like if the cook decides that it's time to drop anchor? Or the person who's doing the sails decides that they're going to cook her the dinner? It's going to be a catastrophe. As a church, We need to find out the things that the Lord has appointed for us to do and serve diligently in those areas so that when that call comes, all hands on deck, we are ready and prepared to serve in the way that the Lord wants us to serve, to bring glory to Him. So with all this in mind, how do you approach serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Sadly, some Christians, they think about serving the Lord, and they do have a nautical idea. They think it's about ships, but they think it's about cruise liners, where they're up there on the deck, and they've got themselves a nice sunbed and maybe a nice drink, and they're sailing away into the sunset. If that's your idea of the Christian life, you're sadly mistaken. And when you do get to see Jesus face to face, you're going to be filled with the regrets at the things that you should have done, but haven't. As Christians, we're all part of the crew, and we've all got something different to do. Serving Him should surely be the greatest honor of our lives. It may be difficult, it may be dangerous, there may be setbacks, there'll be times of triumph, but the outcome is certain when we're on the Lord's side. Are you up to the task this morning? Some of you may be saying, oh, I'm too old and too sick to do anything now. The Lord knows where we are. He knows that we go through seasons of life, and He asks us to do different things at different points in our lives. And the seasons change, and sometimes we want to do the things that we were doing last season today. But our responsibilities change as we grow older. Just because you cannot do what you did yesterday, it doesn't mean that you're washed out and wasted. Rather, it means that you've been promoted to a different department and the Lord has got something different for you to be doing. Someone else may be saying, oh, I've got my whole life before me and I want to do other things rather than serve the Lord. I'll do it later, you know, when I get old, you know, like when I turn 30 or something like that. Serving the Lord while you're young and wholeheartedly following Him protects you from a lot of mistakes and a lot of pain. Just ask people who became Christians later in life if they regret the wasted years. And they will all say yes. And they will wish that they had become Christians earlier than they did. Walking the Christian pathway, it may be hard and difficult. It may mean that you're not popular with your friends. But looking to Jesus protects you from the trips, from the landmines of this world and the terrible mistakes that you can make. So looking towards Him protects you, and it means that you've got even more time to serve Him in the best possible way. As Christians, it is such a wonderful honor to be able to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And we serve Him out of love and gratitude as we remember the incredible sacrifice that He made for us. So when we hear that call, all hands on deck, just look to the cross of Christ and step forward and serve Him. Amen.